Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com. Website creation is hard. Was hard, but not anymore, thanks to WonderSuite from Bluehost. Answer a few questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically create your website or store. From there, you can customize your design, colors, and content, and we automatically help you get found in search engines like Google and Bing. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins, Bluehost makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Go to Bluehost.com/WonderSuite.
Andy, Barney, Opie, Goober, Floyd the Barber. That's some of the names from The Andy Griffith Show. Drop by Two Chairs No Waiting, The Andy Griffith Show fan podcast, and we'll visit with some of those folks, along with tribute artists and fans, and just all kinds of things related to The Andy Griffith Show. I'm your host, Alan Newsom, and you can find the show, Two Chairs No Waiting, at twochairsnowaiting.com or on iTunes.
Howdy, partners. You're listening to Conversations with Jacob, hosted by my good friend, Jacob Waller. Make sure to check out the podcast where podcasts are available, and check out the video version on YouTube. You can follow us on social media. Facebook is Conversations with Jacob. Twitter is at CWJ Podcast. And you can visit our website, conversationswithjacobpodcast.weebly.com. Hey, you got a show idea? Maybe a guest suggestion? Email us at conversationswithjacob@gmail.com. Now, here's your host, Jacob Waller.
And what's going on, everybody? And welcome back to another episode of Conversations with Jacob. This is episode number 59. Next week will be episode number 60. Oh, we came a long way since then. So I want to thank you guys for coming along on the ride every Monday at 1 p.m. on YouTube and where podcasts are available. And as you heard in the intro by Jake Thorne, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, the website, conversationswithjacobpodcast.weebly.com, and our email is conversationswithjacob@gmail.com. Also, remember to check out Two Chairs No Waiting. It's an Andy Griffith fan podcast hosted by Adam Newsom, who was on episode number 53 of Conversations with Jacob. Check out twochairsnowaiting.com. And check them out on YouTube as well. Also, if you like cars, check out the Rocky Mountain Cruising in Rocky Mount, Virginia, 2024 schedule. Of course, April 6th has already happened by the time this podcast goes out. So the next one is May 4th, 2024. You can check it out in Franklin County High School. The parking lot of Lowe's, the Rocky Mountain Smokehouse, and the parking lot of Shules. It goes from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. And when this episode comes out, the Blue Ridge Jeep Fest, I would have already taken place. So if you missed out, So joining me today is Etta LeBain, and we're talking who's who of the Cosmic Zoo. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Jacob. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, for people who don't know who you are, can you give us a background?
Well, I'm an experiencer and a researcher since the 1990s, trying to get to the bottom of what's going on with alien abductions and different types of ET contact, and how it all fits in with end time prophecies.
Now, when you say ET, and what is your description of an ET? Because some has their different opinions. Like, for example, was I've had people on the podcast that talks about angels and stuff, and they give their own description of one. So what is your description?
Well, that is a great question, which is what I unpack in my book series. So I have 5 books available. So Who's Who in the Cosmic Zoo Book 1 is all about definitions, identification, and discernment of what is an alien, what is an extraterrestrial, ET, what is an interdimensional, And then in my second book, I go over who the gods are, who are also considered extraterrestrials and ultra-terrestrials. And, you know, so they, a lot of them fit into several different categories. And then in my third book, Who Are the Angels?, I go into who the record says they are. Like, according to the Bible record, all the angels that showed up in the ancient past all showed up as men, except for one instance there was a female. But suffice to say, they looked human. However, they had supernatural powers, and so they were called angels just from the word, the Hebrew word malachim, which means messenger. And then in Greek, it was angelos, which is where we get the English word angel from. But suffice to say, they were extraterrestrials and extra dimensionals. So that's another category that I unpack, because they have the ability to move in and out of different dimensions. They can show up and then they can disappear. They can manifest as a human and then they can disappear and go back into their angel body, which is probably too awesome and fearsome for us humans to handle. And that is that was evidenced in the Bible scripture, which is a record of their interactions, interventions, and contact with our ancient ancestors.
Now, how has there such thing as alien abductions, because we see them in movies, do they exist in the real world?
Absolutely. So in terms of going along the lines of definition, so a lot of people, and I start off my first book with this, what is an alien? Because, you know, we call human beings aliens too, and that's inappropriate, actually, because we're all of the same human race. So, you know, when people come from a different country to try to immigrate to America, they're called aliens, okay? And that's where people get kind of lost in these misnomers. So suffice to say, an alien is a non-human intelligence, okay? That can be, you know, a creature. It can be a demonic presence. And the word daemon is Greek for intelligences. So it could be like artificial intelligence. It could be a cybergenetic robot, a Borg, a hybrid, a cryptid. You know, there's so many different types of aliens, which is what I attempt to discern and unpack in my first book, which includes an A to Z, about 150 different types of aliens and extraterrestrials that I've collected research on, as well as reports from contactees and abductees and whistleblowers about who is the alien presence. So I call it the alien presence because they are with us here on Earth. And it's my understanding, my hypothesis, is that they are not necessarily coming exclusively from outer space, but more specifically from inner space. They have been coexisting with us here on Earth for millennia.
Now, can these aliens control humans?
Oh, yes. And we have a long history of that in, you know, the historical records of enslavement and mind control and brainwashing and religious implants. So I unpack a lot of that there is a vast difference. I have three theology books: Who is God, Who are the Angels, and Covenants, which fall into the category of theology, because I'm basically unpacking their presence in the world religions, the major ones, and even the cults. Okay, and my short answer is that they're responsible for implants. So there are religious implants that people get that are, I call, spiritual limitation devices. There's a vast difference between being spiritual, which is about having a relationship, an ongoing, dynamic, intimate relationship with the living God through his living spirit, which gives us the breath of life that we have each day. And one day it's gone. So how did I get to this point? I had a near-death experience. So when you have a near-death experience, you realize how everything is held together by God. I mean, you know, the creator God, the God that gives us breath, and that all these other so-called gods or angels or ETs or supernatural beings are trying to mimic that and trying to get our worship through control, through, like I said, spiritual limitation devices, so that they can use us. And planet Earth is a farm, so to speak, of many different creatures, but their experiment with human beings goes way back to the ancient Sumerian times, when they basically wrote in stone what these Anunnaki, which in Sumerian basically means extraterrestrial, the Zachariah Sitchin basically translated it as those who came from heaven to earth. So let's just call them ETs.
Wow.
So now, they had a big role in the control system that we're all still struggling with. And there's nothing new under the sun. So history repeats itself, and we're seeing patterns from the past repeat in the present.
Now, does the government know about these UFOs? I'm pretty sure they do, because they've released some footage about it. But did they know about them beforehand? You know, before they even got the footage? Did they know about the UFOs before? Of course, they've had these hearings about it. But do you think that they are, I guess, protecting them? Or what is your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a great question. Yes, yes, and yes. yes, they know about them, and we know that they know about them because they've gone to great lengths to cover it up. Okay, so and that's the era we're living in, which is disclosure, and I call it drip disclosure. Because it's not everything all at once. It's like, here's a carrot, here's a piece, here's another piece. And if you're collecting, then eventually you'll get the whole salad. You know what I mean? So there's interaction, there's agreements. We know that there are agreements, legal agreements, contracts between the several governments of Earth, including ours, the United States of America, and Israel. So if you remember at the end of 2020, the retired space chief of Israel, Chaim Eshed, came out and became a whistleblower at the age of 88. And this seems to be a pattern with octogenarians, that, you know, they get to that part of their life and they think, you know, I really need to spill the beans for the sake of humanity, because they're getting ready to pass over. And he's still alive, by the way. So now he's in his 90s. But he basically gave an interview to the Yedidot Ahronot, which is the equivalent of the New York Times in Israel, and basically said that the United States and Israel were both in working agreements with the Galactic Federation. And Trump knew about it, and they have joint bases on Mars. And the Galactic Federation basically told them that they felt that the public, that would be us, is not ready for disclosure of who they are. Okay. And if you remember back in 2020, most of us were in a shutdown due to the pandemic, and people went, huh, okay, like what else are they going to throw at us this year? Because that was just like one of the craziest, weirdest years ever. So a lot of people didn't take it seriously. Nevertheless, he was very serious and he was telling the truth. And since then, they've published a book called The Universe and Beyond. That is his whole enchilada, the entire interview. And it was published with the Yedidot Achronot, Geffen Publishing, but it's only available in Hebrew. And They didn't even put it in a PDF so that you can put it through a translator. So I got a hold of it, and I have managed to extract about 15 pages of excerpts that are highlighting multiple UFO crashes all around outside of the United States, all around the world, and alien bodies that were retrieved from those crashes.
Wow.
Yes. So suffice to say that there are these tall, long-necked, he called them long-necked grays, okay, tall with very long necks. And then they found human beings. There were human ETs in a crash, and he describes that they were hooked up to oxygen apparatus. So he goes into all these details about these crashes, which, you know, are very similar to the Roswell here or Socorro. But to my knowledge, here in America, they haven't really retrieved any human beings in crashes. They were just like grays, gray aliens, you know, different, those types. So I thought that was interesting.
Do you think that they would ever show themselves to us in some kind of form?
Absolutely. And they have. And there's many people, including myself, who have had contact experiences. So that's what led me to, you know, go down these rabbit holes and collect research. I mean, I've been collecting research since the early 1990s. My first book didn't come out until 2012. So, but, you know, a lot of us get into it because we're trying to figure out what happened to us. You know, it's like we have a personal journey, plus, you know, you realize you're not alone, that in terms of experiences, that there are other people who have had similar experiences. You know, the abduction experience that is pervasive all around the world. So, you know, like something is definitely going on. In my first book, which I just republished in August, as a expanded fourth edition, I've included an extra 20 chapters on what's really behind alien abductions. And I call them temporary kidnappings because the word abduction connotes that you've been kidnapped. And when you use it in terms of like children, like sometimes they never get seen dead or alive, right? I mean, they just disappear. But this is a whole completely different phenomenon because the aliens usually put you back after a couple of hours. So it's not a true abduction, it's a temporary one. But what's happening during these abductions are multiple programs that many of us have been used for. So there's the alien hybridization program, which is what I was involved in. But then there's also other programs to change our culture and our religions and our politics. And how do they do that? Through implants. So they take people, they implant them in their etheric body, and then they put them back, and then people just don't even realize where they're getting their ideas or their inspiration from. And it's basically the aliens kind of driving an agenda to change our culture and to change what's happening on the surface.
So, and what happens during an abduction? Do you get some kind of tingling feeling in your body, or what the case may be? Because I know I've seen people talk about abductions before, and they lose track of time, and they forget things. So what happens when you get abducted by an alien?
Well, I guess it depends on the alien, which kind, because there's multiple kinds that are seem to be involved with abductions. But there's dozens of different symptoms. So what was going on with me was I was waking up and seeing bruises on my body, and I'm like, well, I didn't have any interaction with anyone that could have happened. And they always seemed to be in between my legs. So that's when I started waking up that I was being, used for like gynecological examinations and implantation. And I had missing pregnancies, and I had an abortion. I had a baby get like aborted out of me, like a miscarriage. And I saw two little short grays standing at the edge of my bed when I woke up in sort of a pool of blood. So that's when I woke up to what was happening to me. So those were my symptoms. However, other people, they have different, there's a host of them. There's needle phobia. There's the missing time that you speak of. There's sinus issues, allergies. There's a book that was written on alien abductions and allergies, just specifically that people just come away from this with all kinds of sinus issues because they're going up your nose to put an implant into your brain. Okay. I mean, this is just like, you can't make this stuff up. And so one of the things that I learned was that because for in the 90s, everybody got lost in the Dr. Roger Lear implant removals. And he was a surgeon that was literally surgically removing alien implants out of people. Okay. But they were in their physical bodies. But I knew someone that had the implant removed, but then it came right back. So that led me down this specific rabbit hole, which I've kind of written about, which has to do with the etheric body. So this has to do with how the aliens actually abduct people. This is kind of well known in the abduction circles, like when people get abducted and they're sleeping with their partner in bed and their partner says, well, I don't know, I didn't see you leave. You've been there all night. And yet you have this whole experience that you left your body. So what happens is that they understand how we are wired and that we are not in our bodies. Our bodies are in us, meaning that our soul is this very big etheric egg, if you can imagine that. Okay. And it has seven layers. And so if they can get into any of those layers, which they can do quite, efficiently, then they can manipulate us. And what goes on in the metaphysical realm, meaning the etheric realm, the spiritual realm, the non-corporeal realm, manifests in the physical realm. So they are able to take your essence. Very similar to Star Trek, if you can imagine, how Star Trek demolecularized a body and then remolecularized it in a different location, when they went through the transport.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So they do a very similar thing while you're lying in your bed. So your physical body is left behind, but your etheric body is abducted. And they do all the stuff they do to your etheric body, and then they put you back into your physical body. And when you wake up, your physical body has an imprint of what was done to your etheric body. So that's why there's stuff going on. That's why you have issues. That's why you have, sinus, bruises, miscarriages, missing pregnancies, unexplained pregnancies. Okay. All right. That's another aspect of it. So, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. This has been going on for millennia. And I prove this in my book series because I pull all these stories out of our history.
Now, and what is your thoughts on Area 51? Do you think at one time that they had like UFOs and aliens there at one time, or do you think that that was just one big myth?
Certainly not a myth. And there's more than one area, from my understanding. I think there's Area 54 and 58, and there's all these test sites and underground laboratories and, you know, secret space technology that they've been working on, reverse engineering from the alien crashes. And we know that from the whistleblowers, from Bob Lazar, who told us that in 1989. And isn't it interesting that this past summer, you know, July of 2023, when David Grush came out and basically vindicated everything that Bob Lazar told us in 1989. Yes, they have alien bodies. He called them biologics that were retrieved from crashes, and that they were reverse engineering alien technology. And that's exactly what Bob Lazar testified to multiple times. So of course it's real. It's not a myth. It's heavily covered up. Okay, for multiple reasons. And, you know, I mean, we could talk about disclosure if we'll ever get it, like completely from the U.S. government. I tell people, don't put all your eggs in one basket, meaning don't depend on just the U.S. government for disclosure. There are other governments on this planet that disclosure can and has come from.
Do you think that they will ever reveal the actual truth to us, or do you think that they're going to keep that hidden for as long as possible?
Yes, I agree with the last statement. They'll probably keep it hidden for as long as possible. And we are in drip disclosure. So thank God for the whistleblowers, because if it weren't for the whistleblowers, we'd be like mushrooms, you know, fed in the dark and fed BS, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. So that is something that we are keeping a very close eye on, are these whistleblowers that are coming from inside. They're insiders. They've worked on things, and you know, they are very brave, okay? And they believe that they need to tell people, because it's not about them, it's about the greater good. And the fact that, you know, people deserve to know something that's going on, because we're all in this together.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, and what does the end of times mean? You know, what does it mean by the end of times?
That is a great question, Jacob. So this has to do with the astronomical precession of the ages. So like, we are in the processional age of Pisces. We are finishing up this processional age. So therefore, that is the end of this age. And we are at 5 degrees of Pisces. So the processions, so you know, like when we look at the calendar right now, we're in Aquarius. So we go from Aquarius to Pisces, Pisces to Aries. The processional ages go in reverse. So we go from Pisces to Aquarius. So we are waiting for that transition. We are, suffice to say, in this transition phase where we're finishing up the end of the processional age of Pisces. So it's based on the sun rising on the vernal equinox in the stars of Aquarius. That begins the age of Aquarius. But we have 30 degrees for each sector of the Milky Way zodiac, the path of the stars. And we count from 0 to 29, not 1 to 30. So right now, since our last vernal equinox, we're at 5 degrees of Pisces. So we go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. So when we hit the 0 point, that is the official beginning of the transition into Aquarius. And it's kind of an arbitrary line in the cosmos that astronomers argue about. Like, it's how many angels can you fit on the head of a pin? You know what I'm saying? That type of thing. Because it's like, when do the stars of Aquarius officially begin? Because they kind of merge together. So let's suffice to say that when we get to the 0 point, we're there. And that would be the end of the age. So the prophecies, the Bible prophecies, are very clear about this, that the second coming of Christ is going to be at the end of this processional age. He was born at the beginning of the age of Pisces, which is symbolized by the fish. So that became the symbol of Christianity and, you know, the fish gods, which I go into in my book, because there's a lot of fish gods, sea gods, water gods. Enki in Sumerian, it means Lord of the water. And, you know, we have multiple water gods. So this is a water sign, Pisces. So that's what it means to be at the end times of this age. And the earth is going to go through a huge change. We're already in it. So the prophecies and the predictions kind of coalesce that the earth is going to flip. We're going to have a pole shift from the return, not just of Christ, but the return of this ancient planetary system that comes around every 3,500 to 3,600 years, which the Sumerians called Nibiru. And so in my research, I found that our sun actually had a binary twin in the distant past. And this is common in the universe. Most stars are binary, if not trinary. So when we were growing up, learning that we just had a single sun, we weren't being told everything because we forgot the past. But the past records are very clear that there is another sun, but it's a brown dwarf and it's a dead sun. So that means it doesn't radiate, but it definitely illuminates, you know, like it, you can see it when our sun illuminates it. So it, you know, just like all the planets, when our sun shines on Venus, it looks like a big star, or any of the other, like Jupiter, it looks like a big bright star. So when it comes around our sun, we are seeing it looking like a second sun. And there's pictures, lots of them, and I post them. They're on my Facebook if anyone wants to see. All around the planet, people are taking pictures of these second object next to our sun, usually an hour before sunrise or around sunset. Because our sun, you know, when it rises, it obfuscates. You know, the light just kind of like a flashlight, and you can't see what's around it until the angle of the light changes, and then you can see it can illuminate it at certain times of the day, meaning, you know, like sunrise and sunset, and at certain locations on the earth, because people say, well, how come I can't see it? And they're living up north because it's seen in the south. So there's actual observatories that are tracking it. You know, we have in Antarctica and Hawaii, they actually call it the Wormwood Observatory after the Bible prophecy about Wormwood. And Wormwood is an asteroid that comes out of this system. So this is a system. This is a seven planet system that orbits around this brown dwarf star, and it intersects and interlopes in our solar system every so often.
And what do you think is going to be the end of the Earth? Do you think a meteor is going to hit the Earth, or what is your opinion on that?
I don't think that the Earth is going to end. It's going to change. We're going to go through a change. So the good news is, okay, before I, you know, tell people all the fearful stuff, is that heaven is coming to Earth. So that's what's in the prophecy. So when Yeshua, Christ, returns, he brings heaven to Earth. So this is where all the beliefs about ascension come from, because he comes to break the curse on the earth. And the end of the Bible, which is, you know, the end of the book of Revelation, talks about a heavenly city called the New Jerusalem. So in Hebrew, the word Jerusalem literally translates to city of peace. So we know that the earthly Jerusalem is anything but that, okay, which is really the eye of the storm. No city on this planet has been taken over so many times by every empire that has existed than Jerusalem. And I unpack this in my books. Why is that? And the short answer is because it's an ancient space portal that belongs to the God of Israel, who is coming back through that ancient space portal. And the prophecy says that it's going to happen after a world war and after what we call Armageddon, which is another Hebrew word that is associated with Jerusalem, because it has to do with the field of blood, which is called Har Megiddo. Har means mount, and Megiddo means field of blood. And this was an ancient battlefield that they used to meet and, you know, kind of hash it out on. Okay, so it suffice to say, it's another portal. And so Armageddon is separate. The battle of Armageddon is separate from World War III, which we are now beginning to see start. So the prophecies all converge over Israel because of these portals. So the end time prophecy says that when the Lord returns, the New Jerusalem comes with him over a scorched Jerusalem, meaning everything is destroyed, everything has been burned down, nothing is left, but he brings the heavenly city, which is, it's described to me like this phantasmagorical mothership with 12 gates that all open up. Each one is named after the 12 blessed tribes of Israel, because one tribe was cursed, so he got replaced. And it's like jeweled with sapphire floors and all kinds of precious gems and jewels. And that the Lord sits in the middle of it on a throne with an iron rod and basically restores the earth by lifting it up into heaven's realm. So there's no more curse. There's no more sorrow. There's no more pain. And even the aggressiveness that goes on, like between animals, the wild stuff, that's all taken away. And everybody lives together, the humans, the animals, the ETs, the angels, in this sort of, you know, paradise on earth. So that's the good news.
Now, before we started recording, I told you about the crazy weather that we've had here. You know, we've had snow, we've had a tornado warning, we got rain. You know, the weather's been all over the place. Do you think the weather plays a part in kind of what's going on?
Absolutely. I mean, the climate change is real. So it's not so. You know, the globalists have been trying to guilt trip all of us that it's our fault. It is not our fault. There is nothing we can do to stop what's coming. That die is cast. Okay. So what we can do is work on our inner lives and our relationship with our Creator and get our lives straight and right and, you know, just kind of go with it and not and see that there's more to this life than just this particular life, that it's about the future as well, and that our souls are eternal. So we need to get our souls right. That's what we can do. In terms of the climate change, this is something that is governed by the sun. So it's absolute human arrogance to think that we can do anything to change that. Now, that doesn't mean that they haven't tried, because they have. So in 1983, Ronald Reagan was given a picture from NASA by a probe that went to the end of the solar system called IRIS, and it brought back a picture of Nibiru. It's out there now, so people can look it up. It's on my page, my Facebook page, if people want to see it. But what that photo did was it caused a whole chain reaction of why we're in this situation today. So number one, it became classified, all right? So they saw it, he saw it as like a threat to national security. And if you remember, President Reagan started the Star Wars program. And he dubbed it Star Wars. It was called the Strategic Defense Initiative, the SDI, but he called it Star Wars, so it stuck. And this was basically putting weapons in space. And even though they gave the narrative back then that it was to protect America from these foreign nations like China or Russia, it was really about protecting the Earth from the aliens. Okay. And when they saw this planet coming in, and it has wings. So the ancients depicted Nibiru with wings. It's literally written into stone in the ancient temples in Mesopotamia and Egypt and Persia, which is today's Iran. So we have a lot of records of it. So he saw that, and through an executive order, he wrote for national security that it needed to be suppressed. The name Nibiru should be scrubbed from all dictionaries. Mind you, we wouldn't be calling it Nibiru if it wasn't for Zachariah Sitchin, who wrote the book, The 12th Planet, and interpreted and translated the Sumerian cuneiform. And it was the Sumerians who called it Nibiru. The Greeks called it Hercobalus. The Chinese called it the Red Dragon, because it's red and it has wings. And this is a whole system. So they've been covering this up. And then if you remember the trinity between Reagan and Gorbachev and Maggie Thatcher, those three got really tight back then. And they came up with this, let's put some technology up there and try to retard the warming, because they saw that this was going to warm up the Earth. So they did. So here we are, 40 years later, right, since the 80s. And we have a ton of technology up around the Earth and I've published this in my fifth book, which is all about Nibiru and has all this information in it for people who need to see this. There were patents that I published from 1960, 1961, 1963 for solar simulators. And you think, well, what were they thinking back in the early 60s? Why they needed a solar simulator? Because this information and this research goes way back to the 1930s. And I document this in my book based on the astronomy magazines. So the astronomy magazines were talking about it all the way up until Reagan did this executive order. And then all of a sudden it went, nobody could talk about it. And so I basically traced this, that when presidents get into power, they basically roll over the previous president's executive orders, especially the ones that have to do with national security. And this was under national security. So each president after Reagan just continued it until Obama came along, and he was petitioned by multiple organizations to release it, but he didn't. So instead, he slipped it into the Obamacare bill. And if you remember the famous quote from Nancy Pelosi when they were passing the Obamacare and everyone was saying, what's in it? What's in it? And she said, I can't tell you what's in it until we pass it. Remember that?
Yeah.
So guess what? So this was slipped into it, just like they slip in pork and other stuff. This was slipped into the Obamacare bill. Then after that, in January of 2017, when Donald Trump became president, what was his first order of business, his first promise that he promised everyone he was going to do? And he did. On day one, when he got into the White House, the first thing he did was gut Obamacare, right?
Yeah.
And guess what happened when he did that? The piece about Nibiru just got released, which is why we're talking about it now. Okay. So in my opinion, the Nibiru cover-up and the UFO cover-up are married. They're one and the same because they all come under national security. Because with Nibiru, not only comes these planets and these exomoons that we are seeing in the space telescopes around the sun, they also have spaceships, huge ones.
Wow.
Yes. So they've been covering all this stuff up. So that's why I said at the beginning of the podcast, let's not put all our eggs in one basket and expect them all to tell us everything they know, because Nibiru is gonna shake up the world and bring another level of disclosure.
Now, do you have any predictions for 2024? Do you think something's going to happen, or have you been told something might happen? Or,
well, I haven't been told anything by any official source, so. But we are entering into the year of the dragon in the Chinese astrology. And we do call Nibiru, the Chinese call it the red dragon. So the earth is definitely going through changes. We are seeing more earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, the Schumann resonance. So our magnetosphere has cracked. So I published all this. This is all documented. None of this is really hidden. It's out there. So people can look it up for themselves. But we've had multiple cracks and fissures in our magnetosphere. So each time the sun is going through an unprecedented solar maximum cycle, which means that all these sunspots are like expanding, and out of them, the sun is belching all this coronal mass ejections and solar flares. And when they wave out over the earth, they take about 24 to 36 hours to get to the earth if they're earth facing. The ones that aren't earth facing, we don't get direct hits, but we still feel it. So when they wave over the earth, our protective bubble is our magnetosphere, which was put in place to protect us from the gamma, the dangerous gamma rays and the radiation from space. So the problem is that the magnetosphere has been compromised. It's cracked up. So each time we have this a solar flare, it comes in and it heats up the earth. Which is why they're putting all this technology around the earth, mirrors, to deflect the energy and send it back out into space. They're also chemtrailing. They're chemtrailing like crazy. Any given day, you can go out and you can watch the sky go crisscross with these contrails and chemtrails, which are full of all these different chemicals to manufacture, you know, clouds and create rain and to keep the earth cooled down. So suffice to say, this is an experiment because we have no precedence for it in our history that we know of. Okay. So maybe the ancients, maybe the ETs, who knows, but we don't have any record of that. This is all new territory. So maybe they are able to slow something down, but they can never catch up with what's happening on the sun. So the sun is dying. The sun is dying. And this was written into the Vedic scriptures that eventually the sun will go through this, what they call a solar sneeze, and it will just like supernova, and we're all going to ascend in, as light beings. This is what that belief system has been putting out for thousands of years. And we are seeing that there's actual scientific truth in this. Now, I can't tell you when. I don't know when, because here's another aspect. As Nibiru, as this binary system gets closer and intersects with our solar system, it literally changes time on Earth. And this has happened before.
Wow.
So you know when people say, wow, doesn't it feel like time is speeding up? It is. The days are getting, because each time the Earth gets jolted by these really big quakes, like eights and nines, and there's going to be a 10 coming down soon, it knocks the Earth off its axis. And when it does that, it shaves about 20 seconds off the day. So when you extrapolate that over days and years, the days are getting shorter. So time is changing. And that's also part of the prophecy.
Now, when people read your book, Who's Who in the Cosmic Zoo, and what can they take away from reading the book?
Well, I hope that, you know, I tried to put something in there for everyone. So it really depends on where you're at. But right. But people can take a lot away in terms of, you know, the research, what's happening, and their own experiences that they can relate to. Also, the religious piece, you know, that's something that I offer, is to try to unpack that and how religion has been used as a manipulation, and how people can heal from that and hook up to a real healthy, intimate, daily relationship with the living God without necessarily being attached to religion or religious stuff, because it's about relationship, which is a whole different level. And so that's what I have to offer.
Now, at the end of every episode, I like to ask the guests this question, and some answer and some don't, but it's all right. But do you got a closing thought for the people listening?
Well, I would say, you know, you were created by the Creator God, and it's and just work on getting your life right with God and releasing all the toxicity of the controls and focus on relationship to spirit. You know, the evidence of the Creator is in the creation, and you're the creation.
How about that?
So now, God lives in you.
Absolutely. Now, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast, which I had a good time talking about it. And we talked for about 53 minutes here. Which I enjoyed it, and I hope people that tuned into this, which I'm sure that they will enjoy it too, and maybe they could pick up your book. Oh, so by the way, and where can they find the book at?
Well, you can go to my website, whoshointhecosmiczoo.com. I do free shipping only in the United States, so if you're international, you can go to Amazon. I'm on all the Amazon channels, and the book, there's 5 books, and they're all available in Kindle, paperback. And if you have the audio subscription, you can get it read to you. And on my website, I sell the paperback and the PDF. So if you're international, you can get the PDF from me, but not the paperback.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming once again. I want to thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Jacob.
Of course. All right. And that wraps up this week on Conversations with Jacob. Tune in next Monday for episode number 60. Until then, God bless. And we'll catch you next Monday right here on Conversations with Jacob.